Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, December the 31st, 365th day, final day of the year 2014. Joining us this afternoon is Mr. Rex. How you doing?
I'm good.
You survived the holidays? At least the first phase, the first step.
I did survive the holidays. New Year's should be pretty easy.
I see. You haven't been saving up bottle rockets and things like that that would get the attention of anybody.
I tend to stay home on amateur night when possible.
Yeah, no kidding. In many regards, no kidding.
I spent enough New Year's out.
You see. So you're kind of balancing the sin scale. Shaking his head.
I figure my time to meet my maker is coming sooner every day, and I just want to have some sort of balance.
Yeah. Shut down the bar.
Yeah, no kidding.
This afternoon, we're talking about other things to look forward to in the upcoming year, other than Rex surviving tonight. We'll talk about some of the possibilities when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, let's see. What?
If you got in trouble for doing it last year, don't do it this year.
Yeah, that's kind of a mantra, isn't it?
Works for me.
Here's a good one. Sandra Day O'Connor. Now, not somebody I typically will agree with, but okay, we'll go with this one. In a Supreme Court ruling in 1985, quote, "A moment of silence is not inherently religious."
That's true.
I can kind of go with that, yeah. Sometimes we're trying to figure out what was just said.
And sometimes just trying not to replicate what was just said.
Yeah, without signaling for a timeout and letting everybody know what's going on. Oh, boy. So what do you anticipate 2015 being? More of the same? Something a little different? What do you kind of look at?
Well, hopefully we're looking for some upticks. You know, we're always the last ones to know, you know, or the last ones to happen to up here. But hopefully we'll see some upticks in our economy. Hopefully we'll get some more variations and decipher the general plan a little farther down the road. We plan on mapping this year. And we keep hearing the comments of how long it's taking. But I think it's coming along pretty well. I'm pretty happy with the way things are going.
Don't worry, you'll be out of office before the election happens when we can vote on it.
Yeah, I think it's going along pretty well. I think everybody's mad on both sides, so I've been told if everybody's mad on both sides, you're actually making progress.
Yeah, that's not a bad place to be. Yeah.
No, so I think we're getting...
Unless you're in the quiet zone in the field of artillery. That might not be a good spot to be. But
true story.
Typically, if everybody's shooting at you, you're doing a pretty good job.
So, you know, we've had some, you know, the Working Lands Group, the Farm Bureau, a lot of those groups have weighed in, and they've got a lot at stake. There, a lot of them are the majority property owners, and they want to keep going, especially legacy farms that have been in the same families for 100 years. They want to keep on doing business, maybe for another 100. They all have kids, so without, you know, further restricting their uses, but still being environmentally correct.
Do you know of anybody who's a farmer or a rancher who doesn't plan? Okay, now we can take Maxim out of it because I suppose that's the one everybody would look to. Who isn't looking for long-term, you know, a 10-year horizon, a 20-year horizon, a 50-year horizon that's in those business niches? I don't know a lot of business guys that are running what do they call it, brick and mortar retail fronts aren't thinking anything beyond the next quarter. But my sense is that those who are natural resource based tend to have a far longer horizon with their planning and their strategizing.
I think we're really fortunate about some of the, I guess you would call them legacy farms, ranchers, the people that we have, the standard names. Their sons and grandsons and great-grandsons are now running the business. And they tend to be a little more aware of the environmental situation because it wasn't around before. And they're planning for the future real well, long down the line with drainage issues, ditch, you know, bottom land issues, timber issues. There's a lot of smart young men out there running some very big parcels of land in Humboldt County and plan on doing it for their kids.
Do the stereotypes that the anti-crowd uses, are there still gems of truth in there, or is it just easy to stereotype rather than to...
I think it's easier to throw rocks and actually face the truth that these guys are doing a pretty good job. I sometimes, because I hear both sides of it and I see both sides of it, and I'm somewhat pretty impressed with the way some of these people are managing their properties, the ground. It amazes me how many have stepped forward to address the groundwater issue, you know, because the only part of Humboldt County that's going to be affected is the Eel River Valley. And we are basically very, very low on the list of groundwater legislation, on the groundwater legislation part. We're so far down the list, we may actually not be regulated because we've got historical figures for the last 50 years for our groundwater. And the people in the Eel River Valley have done a very good job of keeping track of their groundwater and not over pumping. And you know, we're not the Central Valley. We don't have to pump a lot. We do get a little bit of rain into June, July. I heard the other day that the drought was over. And I'm going, I don't think it's over, but I would love to see, now that it's chilling down and going to get a little more rain next week, I'd like to see a little snowpack now.
Yeah, that would probably really muck up the whole bureaucracy around drought, wouldn't it? Oh, my, look.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have enough snow.
Yeah.
We don't have enough water.
And Central Valley does still have a major problem, and I can see what the problem is down there. And
well, they don't have collectors.
They need to, this water bill is supposedly two, like we've talked about it, $2.5 billion supposedly for reservoirs. Well, they better get off their butts and do something about it and get through the regulatory and environmental process and go somewhere where the least amount of impact with a lot, very large runoff, and start saving some of this water, because, you know, the ocean's rising, they say. So, but the less water we put in the ocean, for all the better. Let's put it in the reservoirs. That's, you know.
Is there any movement at all as part of this to talk about desalinization and to start putting in those facilities?
The problem with desalination plants, and they're trying to find a way around it, is they are so energy, they're energy hogs. They use up so much power. We're better off building reservoirs and using the water that's already done rather than desalination, because you've got the salt. There's so many avenues, and they take up so much power that they're not extremely effective. In some places, that's all they have a choice of. I mean, I understand that.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as you're looking at land use issues and some of those challenges that are out there in association with land use, you mentioned the water tables. And I would think that Humboldt County's pretty safe in those areas, at least talking to the various water folks that we have wander through the studio. They all kind of say, we're okay. Down south is different, unless the grab happens.
Yeah.
Are you hearing anything about the grab?
We just had a presentation from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, and Bruce Rupp and Socio Belknap came, the two of the board of directors, and Carol. And they gave a very good presentation. They were talking about, you know, $400 million for a tunnel to, you know, for piping and some pretty extreme measures to get water down. Now, you know, I don't know if this changes now that we have rain, but I know we're still in a drought. We're still, you know, Trinity, Shasta are still a long ways away, but they're coming up quick. We're very fortunate. Ruth, you know, we're always very fortunate here because we have Ruth and we've got lots of water. We're unfortunate that the industries that, you know, used to employ 600 people and use that water aren't here anymore, but that's just a sign of the times. But as we move along, you know, they're talking about pumping water out of the MAD, you know, not putting a straw in Ruth Lake, but doing it after it leaves the pump station. it's going into the ocean anyway, and we just discussed, you know, it's water that is excess water in Humboldt County. We're not using it yet, you know. So but the idea of maybe being able to send some of that water south. Now, the other thing is, being a municipality, JPA or whatever, however you look at it, they can't make a profit on this. They can cover their costs, which means they can put a lot of their expenses onto the money, the water that they ship out, which may help in the long run eventually lower the rates. I mean, we've all suffered. For anybody that lives in off the water districts, we all know our rates have gone up quite considerably because it used to be underwritten by the two industries out on the Samoa pulp mill. The Samoa Peninsula, the two pulp mills used to offset quite a bit of those costs. Now that they're gone, you know, the infrastructure is being supported by the ratepayers and the municipalities that use it. So that's always the issue. So I think they're trying to look outside the box to maybe offset some of those costs and get rid of some of the excess water. And then the other thing is 15 years, 2029, our new contract comes up, and it's a use it or lose it contract. So we could lose our volumes, and then the idea of bringing in an industry that is, you know, water dependent, you know, that is a big water user, would go out the window. So we have to look at all those avenues, and I applaud their board because they're looking at so many different directions on how they can do that.
What about a business attraction? Is the county in 2015 going to be doing anything to try to attract new business?
I would certainly hope so. I think Philip Smith Haynes is looking at lighting a fire and getting the Economic Development Department maybe a little more outreach. We do have a lot of.
Is there going to be a restructuring of that department? Is that one of them?
I don't think it's a restructuring as much as just maybe we should look at different avenues. They did a great job on getting the Humboldt Made and the boutique businesses, and those online, and those have been doing really, really good and things like that. But in the long run, we need to find some sort of manufacturing or something to that effect that could take advantage of. We have more room for dairy up here.
McKinville Business Park.
We've got the business park.
Redway's got theirs.
You know, we've got. I know we hear a lot about the air being, you know, a bad issue of getting in and out of here with air. Hopefully, we'll be hearing something on that real soon. I've been hearing Fly Humboldt is really excited because they've almost got $1 million to offer somebody to underwrite, service out of here. I don't know if that'll transform into jobs and businesses right away. I get nervous a little bit because Delta was here and Delta was gone, so I don't know if anybody's going to base their business on something that could be gone. So I always tend to worry about that a little bit. But I think if we get somebody here, maybe we'll tend to use them and maybe they'll stay this time.
Well, the thing that concerns me about the air, there was an example last Sunday. SFO or Eureka Arcade, I'm not sure which of the two, weren't flying out. So the stuff on the 20th was gone. Next available seats were Friday.
Yeah.
Well, that's no way to run a train wreck.
Yeah.
But that seems to be what we do and what we accept.
Now,
so I think as concerning as anything is just the limited capacity. Whether it's one or two carriers or 25 carriers, who cares?
I see the regional jets are scheduled. They're supposedly on the schedule for September, I think I saw. Somebody sent me an email that said they were scheduled to start service here. And Reading is going to get service back to SFO. And Reading had lost, and SkyWest is going to be coming back in there. And I think that's in the next few months back out of Reading. So maybe the little, the small regional, 50-seat regional jets will help. Run more efficient, put more people on. Instead of four flights going out, there may be only three flights, but same capacity, maybe they can run a little bit more efficient and make this a much more viable.
Well, I'm sure Reading was losing to Sacramento and to Medford.
I'm certain they were because Sacramento is a nice airport to fly out of, and I mean it's a 2-hour drive and boom, you're there. So
yeah, and you get choices.
Yeah.
that do make it a little bit easier. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, how much of it is self-inflicted?
Oh, I think sometimes we're our own worst enemy. You know, I you know, without throwing stones at anybody or anything, California's a tough business climate, and I'll get a few phone calls on this going, well, what do you mean? Well, it's
number 50 as far as business friendly.
Well,
I've
said that three or four times, and somebody sent me a thing that said we were only 42nd. So I said, okay, you know.
Well, but then throw on the income tax for if you are running a successful business, and that takes it out.
You know, and you know, state compensation. I mean, state compensation is 20% of what we pay here in California up in Oregon. And I mean, we're 80 miles away, and I don't think they bleed any less. So, I mean, I think that little things like that, we're a regulatory state. With that being said, there is no shortage of businesses wanting to come to California to do business. We have ports, we have harbors, we're a whole, I mean, what are we? We're the seventh largest economy in the world, seventh or eighth. California is the seventh or eighth largest economy in the world all by itself.
Yeah, but is it making money? Or would we be just a large country that's bankrupt? Needing foreign assistance. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Secede and then get foreign aid.
Yeah, from the U.S. But I look at that, and I think we're going to get some new business in here. And, you know, but I've always been real adamant about, let's make sure the businesses we have here are doing well, and we're not slighting them, or we can help them in any way whatsoever. Because I always love these old-time businesses that have been here forever, who have basically built all of our infrastructure, and we kind of forget about them, and we woo the new business here. And we should make sure that they're on solid ground, because if they're on solid ground, that will attract other businesses, because we can use them as a model, saying they've been here 50 years, 60 years, 40 years. They've been able to expand their business. They do manufacturing here in Humboldt County, and have been able to take it all over the North State, and they're successful at it because they've got fairly good housing up here. We've got good schools. We've got four seasons. One of them seems to be winter most of the year, but we've got four distinct seasons, and I mean, within a half hour, you can be in 90 degree temperature, or else you can be on the beach.
So. Or you can experience all three of them in half an hour.
In the same day. But I mean, we do have a lot of things to offer, and I understand.
So with that being the case, why aren't they here already? Because the climate hasn't changed. The economy hasn't changed. Is there something else that has changed that is the impediment or the hurdle for these businesses to get here?
Oh, listen to them scream now. Getting trucks in and out of here is a huge factor. And if you don't think that affects businesses, it might be the number one thing affecting businesses, because the standard truck throughout the whole area is a 53-foot truck. It's not a 48-foot truck. So you have to transfer stuff. Richardson's Grove, they're working on 299.
But they're starting all over Richardson's Grove.
They're starting square one. I, for one, I guess I'll go out on a limb, think it's a crazy idea. I think we should get that open so trucks can come in and out. Because anybody that's been in the industry knows it is tough to get stuff out of here to the East Coast without having to transfer the loads. And you get a 2% loss, it costs you money. The other thing is the last 12 years, we've kind of let the drug trade kind of run the county rather than us control it. And I guess that's going to be changing here soon, because with the legalization, we're getting on board trying to see what that's going to look like.
Did you see some of the stuff that I read over the weekend? Colorado was saying that they've seen an increase in 20% consumption levels of marijuana since legalization. And the current rate in Colorado is 50% higher than the national average. So they were high to start with, then it went up even higher. And
that's such a good line. They were high to begin with.
Yeah, I know. I figured it's higher, almost a pun, but it's like, you know. But they're having problems, as is Nebraska and Wyoming, the adjacent states.
Well, who are both talking about suing
right,
Colorado, from what I understand.
The issue. So
I had breakfast at a meeting over in Tahoe with the young man that's head of all enforcement and licensing for Colorado, and he's former law enforcement, nice guy. And when you take a look at all the states that opted in for legal, because they're an opt-in, opt-out state, so the counties, all the rural counties off the interstate basically opted out for legalization.
The metropolitan.
All the metropolitan, yeah. Along Denver, along the interstate, they all opted in. And they're still trying to get a handle because there's social implications. There's so much. I guess one of the counties wasn't sure if they wanted in and out, and I think it sounded like, the way he explained it to me, that they opted in and they put three dispensaries right on the Wyoming border, and he said that was basically just to get even with Wyoming for the fireworks, because they bring fireworks across the border, so that was just a little tit for tat. But they're having a lot of migratory people going there, younger people, because it's legal, I can't get in trouble, and, you know, same reason we get a lot of them here, because
a high increase in homelessness associated with that also.
And that's, they say those numbers are pretty, in Denver are quite a bit up, so...
Which would be reflect, or at least would give us a pattern that we're experiencing here.
And
too.
Oregon, since they're still, I think they were talking almost a year away from their stores being their recreational stores.
Yeah, it's
stores.
July 1.
Yeah, they're a long ways away. They haven't issued licenses. They're trying to work through all the bureaucracy.
Which makes sense. Figure it out before you start putting things in place.
Yeah, and there's going to be a big thing. I know they're trying to. Figure out what the rules are going to be around here, you know, on the growing, and so we don't lose that humble distinction, the Emerald Triangle, that distinction. But there's the other factor is half of the people I still think I'd rather lose the distinction if we could get the crime out of it. I mean, that's the big part of it, and that's what follows us, is the home invasions, the robberies, the shoot 'em ups. We get a lot of that.
Of course, that would make our local news rather tame and boring.
Well, it probably would, but I mean, and that's the problem, is the crime element is, I think, the safety and crime element are a big part of it.
Oh yeah, and how much that's impacting our area, or whether or not businesses will be locating here.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, what are you going to look for as your canaries in 2015 that either were doing good or that were in trouble? You know, if you had, let's say, two for each, what are going to be the two things you look for to say things are doing okay, or two things that if they occur, you're going to have significant concern?
You know, a positive is our budget. It does not look bad, and we've been able to get little nuggets of surplus out of it. We haven't run into the red, even with some of our issues that we've had over the last year and things like that. But the budget, it's a very conservative budget, and Amy Nielsen and Cheryl Dillingham and Philip Smith-Haynes put pretty good numbers together for us, and we were able to go off them. We were able to work with our employees on some one-time payments rather than a raise, and I know that's tough, but I mean, that was it. We just didn't know if we could withstand raises right now, and I applaud our employees for, during the negotiations, for coming to the same agreement across the board that we could make it work and hopefully weather this little bit of a storm. So I mean, that's one of my big positives, the employees of the county working with us and understanding that, you know, this is a situation we're all trying to work forward to, because I mean, I'll be the first to say they deserve more money if we had it. And it's just,
so if the budget goes out of whack or doesn't remain as strong, that's going to be one of your a triggering point of oh no.
Yeah, I think well, Measure Z is going to help, because we're going to be able to you know, that's another one of my positives in Measure Z, and I I will always thank the 55% of the people that voted for it and the 45 that didn't. I'm going to hopefully going to be able to show you that this is going to make for a better county. It's going to make for a safer county. It's going to be just what you asked for: boots on the ground, well-equipped volunteer, rural volunteer fire departments, and sheriffs out in the rural area. We've just put a lieutenant in McKinleyville.
What about sheriffs in the immediate Eureka area? As Andy Mills is doing his job and pushing them out of the city, we're seeing them out here.
I'm seeing them, and that's going to be a big thing. I've been out twice in the last month on patrol, and I go out on the nighttime patrol, and I go in at, you know, from 6 till 4 in the morning or something like that, and ride with one of the sheriffs, get to ride with them, get to listen to their stories, get to go on calls that they have to wait for a backup. I mean, we've got sometimes the other night 5 deputies for 4,000 square miles. I mean, that is absolutely huge, and they worry about, I mean, the first thing the guys say at the briefing is they worry about, I wonder if Garville knows we don't have a deputy down here tonight. I mean, because they come out of the woodwork, and there are people. A lot of them are crimes of opportunity, and if you're not going to have somebody there to respond, that's an opportunity. And if they find that out, and we're not going to have that, we're going to have more deputies. We're looking at hiring, I think, Sheriff Downey and Under Sheriff Hansel. I mean, I think they're out actively looking out. I know they're taking a couple guys out of the jail, and they're going to go in through the academy because that's they want to transition. Then a couple more of the next academy. That's huge. We can start putting in. They've already done the background. They've done a lot of the psych. So that's good to get some people that are in there that understand the thinking of the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. We put those people out. Get Maggie some help. So the ones that shouldn't be on the streets aren't on the streets. They don't languish. You know, we look at them. We deal with them as quickly as possible. I'm excited about Maggie Fleming being in there. And maybe looking at a district attorney's office that maybe just goes a different direction than it has been. It's hard for me to say because I'm not in that realm, but I've had people that are in that realm that says it's going to take 2 to 4 years, maybe more, to get this everything actually
actuated. So don't expect anything this year?
It's not going to happen overnight. There's a lot of work to be done. Because they've been short-staffed up there. It's not pointing a finger at anybody. They've been short-staffed. Hopefully we're going to be able to change a little bit of that. My number one thing is public safety. I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, and then you get onto roads, which is a big part of public safety and things like that. But, I mean, people have got to be able to feel okay to walk outside their house, go for a walk in their neighborhood, you know, not worry about things that go bump in the night, knowing they can pick up the phone. If there's a bump in the night, somebody's going to come take a look at that bump. I need people to feel that kind of security in their county, and I think that's one of the things that we're charged with doing, and I think it's one of the most important charges we have.
Well, as long as you stay indoors tonight, I think we all will feel a little bit safer.
You're okay with me. You're safe with me tonight.
All right. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon with Sheriff Downey. All new year, same new attitude. Well, we're sort of like that. Anyway, see you tomorrow.